None of it makes any sense, does it? The lockdown measures, the masking, the closures of schools and parks, and the funneling everyone into Costco but not letting them go to church. The fact we can buy certain things, but for whatever reason we can't buy non-essential items. And who decides what is non-essential? Clothing and shoes are not essential. None of it makes any sense. It doesn't make any sense that we've been under the strictest lockdown measures in the world, in Ontario, supposedly, for greater than 200 days, and yet the cases keep climbing. If these measures worked, surely that wouldn't be the case.
It's not the civil magistrate's
There's
job,
so much more I could name that doesn't make sense, and in a minute I'm going to go through a big list of questions.
And so we're freely coming together, peaceful citizens, to worship Christ because he is worthy. In terms of what that means now, I don't really know. The government has obviously turned up the heat on churches, trying to discourage them from gathering together. I think they don't understand that Christians are committed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of the consequences.
That's different.
Injustice! Injustice!
Adam Sos here for Rebel News with a troubling update. Pastor Tim.
Sorry, fumbling here. So, this is Arthur's garage, and it caught on fire tonight. I don't know what could have happened or anything. All of a sudden, we're just chilling. Someone put it on fire?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Someone lit this hall.
Well, there's enough bad stuff going around right now. It makes sense.
That's what they say. Someone put it on fire.
Someone put it on fire, eh?
Oh, boy. It is May the 16th, 2021. This is the Fakeologist speaking. Aberrato calling to you back. Coming to you from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Media capital of Canada. It is Sunday, May 16th, 2021. Did I already say that? At 8:33 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I am here doing my Sunday to Thursday show on the Fakeologist Radio Network. I also am at fakeologist.com/live. And I'll just go to that page real quick. And as you can see on this page, if you're watching the Fakeologist show on the video, we are on FakeoTube, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, DLive, and Twitter. I really want people to stay on the FakeoTube because that is my platform, and that is where I want people to gravitate towards because thanks to a very generous donor, FakeoTube has been paid for the next year, and that's fantastic. I also have a chat where it doesn't look like anyone is chatting right now, so I'm just going to type in there, hello. But I guess I'm not going to keep deleting my YouTube. I'm streaming simultaneously to YouTube right now, but I'm going to leave that going, and I'm not going to delete it, rather. So if the channel goes away, then that's too bad. If I restart the YouTube channel, that's fine too. But my point is I'm trying to encourage people to come over to the FakeoTube site, which is a fantastic site, as you can see here. And it is, let me see if the counter is working. It looks like, where is the counter? Well, it's getting close to 800,000 views. So that's fantastic. Amazing, actually. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And of course, I got the blog, fakeologist.com/blog. It gets about half the number of hits. I don't count the number of people that come to the Discord channel, which is at fake11.com/Discord. but that gets quite a few views. I haven't looked lately to see how many people download the show at fake11.com/radio1 or fake11.com/stream1. And I think we still might be on the darkmatter.radio, but I'm not sure. I know we were for a while because we got a couple of great listeners from that network. So I am grateful for Tim Osmond for hosting me over there. But I'm not sure if we're still on there because I didn't see us the other day on his main channel. But speaking of great listeners and great participants and guys with great websites, we have, you go to fakeologist.com/donors, donate/donors. You will see we have a new donor on the Patreon, and that person is gofindtheothers.com. Well, thank you so much, Go Find the Others. It's Jake Appleman. Thank you so much, gofindtheothers.com. I just left his actual website there, so you can click to that. I've been going over there. It goes back a long way, and he used to be called infowarts.com, which was a bit of a takeoff on InfoWars, and apparently even Alex Jones didn't like it. He didn't like that it's sort of a fall over for people that misspell or add an extra letter to InfoWars. I don't know if that's why Jake didn't renew the domain and just stuck to gofindtheothers.com, which I thought was a really good name. A lot of people don't put time and effort into their name, or they're just sort of passing ideas. But he really put some effort into that one, gofindtheothers.com, which instead of trying to convert or to convince other people of your way of thinking, it's just easier to go find other people that are already there and put your energy into working with them, which I think is a really smart move, actually, now that I think about it, now that we've all experienced spending years and years and years trying to wake people up. It doesn't work. And even in this day when we're in the 18th month of the COVIDian cult, you'd think there'd be, I would have thought there'd be way more people on the website. Just way more. And traffic is up, including on the fakeologist.com audio chats. We're having an audio chat every single day now. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Usually when I'm doing a show, there are people doing audio chats. Not tonight, though. Tonight, there is nobody extra here on the audio chat. I might open up the phones for tonight. Actually, maybe I'll do that just for fun. So give me a second here. Let me open up the phone lines. If I can remember, looks like my password manager has gone to sleep. That might be a little challenging, so just give me a sec here. And I'm going to do that. Let me play a bit of the amazing Polly from the Great FakeoTube site. Let's just play a bit of her. Great video, by the way, from Amazing Polly. She's a Canadian. She's very good. And finally, she is doing what I've been saying for a long time, that this whole COVIDian cult takeover, medical tyranny, dictatorship is not about a virus. It's about bringing in a new economic, political, geopolitical system to North America and the Western world. It's called CCP capitalist communism. We've never had an exact blend of this before. But it is, I would say, it's going to be definitely modeled after China, for sure. The only difference is they have all the manufacturing jobs, and we're just going to be here to do service economy and supply the resources, the raw resources. We're not going to have any of those kind of jobs. So we're never going to really get any kind of economic wealth, I don't think. So that's the downside. But let's listen to Paul
again.
None
of it makes any sense. Secrets and things that you say in the outside world won't mean anything to the people who are not initiated into the cult, right? So you got to look at it that way. All of this stuff with COVID and the lockdown and all of it makes total sense to the initiated. Now, there's people out here who have cracked the code. We're not in the cult, but we've learned to read the language. See, they essentially are engaged in continual doublespeak. It means one thing to one set of people and another thing to another set of people. They're talking to each other, and we're overhearing. And to us, it doesn't make any sense. But like I said, there's some of us who've cracked the code. We do understand it. We're trying to explain it. And do you know what they call us? Conspiracy theorists. They can get away with it because they know most people aren't initiated, won't understand the codes and the symbols. And so those of us outside the cult who understand the language, who try to explain it to you guys, we get called tinfoil hat, and we get called conspiracy theorists, and we get called right-wing extremists, terrorists, misinformation artists, disinformation artists, dangerous, and all sorts of other things. Well, look, I'm going to show you today some examples of people who almost get it, but claim they don't.
All right. If you want to call in tonight, 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. Those are our phone numbers. If you go to fakeologist.com/live or fakeologist.com/contact, you will see the phone numbers there as well. They're on the screen if you're watching on FakoTube. You can call me, ask me any questions you want. Number one, we're going to look at my latest post, and I'll miss a bunch of posts. Let's look at episode 148, Suicide CX. Let's see, C is 100. 148. Oh, I see. That's the. I'm not too good at reading Roman numerals. But, yeah, it's suicide number 148. Suicides are what Go Find the Others calls mashups of audios. And this one is pretty good. Oh, Adobe Flash no longer supported. Now, he does promote Judy Wood, and this is back in, where's the date on this? This is back in 2010. Okay, so give him the benefit of the doubt. This is a long time. And I'm not sure. Oh, I see. Yeah, so this is back in 2010. I guess this is before I even saw this book. I did buy this book, by the way, because I was taken in for a couple weeks, but he doesn't really talk about...
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal, vicious, and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. I'm the best ever.
I'm just going through all of Jake's 9/11 suicide mashups, and so far this is the best one that I've heard, number 148.
There's never been anybody ruthless. There's no one like... There's no one that can...
One of the good things about Jake is that... when he does these mashups, he seems to remember all the clips. And one of the clips I asked him about JFK, it might have been from this one, and he remembered it. So I'm not sure if I'm going to post it. I can't remember if I did try and download it for FakoTube. It's not bad, the clip that talks about how they might have made the composite for the Zapruder film. Zapruder film obviously was completely fake. But Jake was able to remember the clip, and I found it because I could not find it on YouTube. It's really hard to find stuff on YouTube these days. Especially the good videos, if there are any left, which I doubt. But this one was okay, and it was still on YouTube, so I did watch it. And I think I'm going to put it on FakoTube just as a reference point to something that's close to the way I think the JFK television show went on. But... to be clear, the Zapruder film is not what happened. That's just another rabbit trail. And then the arguments about all the various parts of the Zapruder film are also part of the rabbit trail. This JFK was one of the best psyops ever, even to this day. And it's still an unsolved mystery. And it just books, movies, you name it, have been written about it. Way more than, say, 9/11. Think about that. JFK was a really creative zenith for the PSYOP writers. And that was just at the beginning of television, too. So I'll play a bit more.
Match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
The place from whence I write is wrong. If your third eye is closed. And the blind suppose that I'm evil because the people can't see the furthest from smoking trees. And I hope their needs are met as I step up my writing, but still deal with the walking dead. After all, communication ain't what I thought you heard. Communication is what you thought I said. So where your mind at now? From the time I sat down, you should have known that I was zoning. Homie, I only came to speak truth to power. And my motto is ignore these cowards. I mean, why should I stand up until he man up? Because if I stand up for no reason, I guarantee you it's going to be studio thug hunting season. I place that on everything I believe in. I only want to be understood. And I write like what's hood, but who's the most ghetto is not the point. The point is my integrity. And if I'm profound, why should I dumb it down? Let the A&R give them the runaround. I only came to walk 180. I do this for the art, not to drop Mercedes. I write it for the same reason Coltrane did it. To cipher in a graveyard with a 40-inch cigar and a cat in a great wave cap be like, yo, Black came with it. And I put out my cigar, put a little drink on the grave. Tell them brothers I call you God, cause calling you begin to be like calling you slave. And you have to understand your concept of God is deeper than that slave master's. I mean, how he gonna have a bastard and put him out on the plantation and call him his property? See, we...
Alright, so that is Suicide148 of GoFindTheOthers.com. I highly recommend you take a look at that. And if you're wondering what this show is about tonight, sometimes I just go reading the blog and then I play a little clips here and there of stuff that I've posted with a bit of an explanation. This is sort of an oral presentation of my blog if nobody calls in, but otherwise if someone calls in, I'll talk to them, discuss the COVIDian cult of the day. But otherwise I just try and briefly go through some of the posts. Here's another one, and this is a new blog, canucklaw.ca, and it's a blog that is basically going through the COVID-19 science table that is currently ruling Ontario, which is under the harshest dictatorship in all of North America, maybe the world right now, although we don't know third world countries what they're doing. Could be anything, really. And I'm not sure I'd want to be in any third world country. Some of them, they might be... Even though we don't really have any protected rights left in Canada or on terrible right now, at least they sort of pretend to still have them. But in countries such as, say, Southeast Asian countries like Thailand, or Philippines, I'm not sure I'd want to be there when they turned up the heat on the COVID rules, regulations, or whatever they call them there. But this canucklaw.ca is a pretty good blog, and if you click on here, they go through some of these so-called doctors. They're just epidemiologists, and looks like we've got Mr. Walker calling in.
Hold time, 10 seconds.
Fakeologist.
Hey, fakeologist, it's Walker.
Walker, great. You?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Just going through the blog tonight. Reading a couple posts here and there. I'm glad you're calling in. Glad to have you riding shotgun tonight.
Right on. I really liked your last show. I thought that was one of your best ones you've done.
Is that the one where I talked about Christopher Reeve?
Yeah. You went over a lot of different stuff, but yeah, the Christopher Reeves thing. Yeah, that was really good. I'm really interested in all these fake celebrities and their fake diseases and stuff. I think that's a pretty interesting component of our reality.
Well, that's kind of the things I used to talk about before I got overwhelmed with COVIDs, for God's sakes. You know, I know COVIDs isn't really fakeology, but it actually, it is and it isn't, because This is so big. The central lie is so big that it's just taking over society. So I still think it's worth talking about. And by the way, my wife, Mrs. Fakeologist, says whenever you call in, I talk over you. And she likes to hear what you have to say. So I'm going to try and be more careful tonight.
Oh, wow. Well, Mrs. Fakeologist, I appreciate that. But no, this is your show, man. You do all the talking you want. I appreciate you giving me the time.
She said, why did you talk over him? You cut him off. I said, I know, but it's not because I'm trying to be rude. It's just I have so much to say. And when you say something, it spurs me to say something else. When I'm here by myself, I don't always have the same thoughts when someone's interacting. That's I guess, how conversation works. So,
yeah. It's all good. I mean, I appreciate you, man. I mean, I'm
I appreciate that.
Mad, but that's fine. I appreciate your wife speaking up on my behalf.
Yeah, well, she only listens into the show when I have a caller because she can hear me in the other room, so she doesn't need to tune in. But when she knows I have a caller, she'll tune in, which is kind of cool because she can't hear the other caller because you're in my headphones. So there you go. So you got a fan over here. In Toronto.
Awesome. Awesome. She sounds like a great lady.
She is a great lady. And it's so great that she's a fakeologist. Maybe she's more of a fakeologist than me because she thinks everything is BS. But it does help. And she's not getting the quaxine, as far as I know. Mainly, I think, for the reasons I'm not, which that's great too. Because it's really difficult with all the people around you today that are just, are you getting the vaccine? When are you getting it? And I went and visited an old friend today. I went to visit an old friend's wife because he died 4 years ago, and I sort of check in with her once a year just to say hi. And she was telling me her strategy because she's not getting the vaccine. She has three sons. The eldest son is a doctor. He went from ophthalmology to cardiology. Now he's a psychiatrist. And he went and got the vaccination because he goes into a hospital. That was his excuse. But her younger two sons are not getting the vaccination. And they told her she should really wait a long period of time before she gets it. And she was telling me her neighbors are asking her if she's getting it. And she said she hates lying, but she just decided to tell them she already got it because she just doesn't want to argue or get the sales pitch from a neighbor. A neighbor is advising you of your health.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Now that's here. I don't know. Is that happening in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to have died down quite a bit. It seemed like the last couple months was really bad, but I think everybody who got it by now, and everybody who's not going to get it's not going to get it. I don't know who's, you know, I guess it's just some people holding out at this point, or like that, I don't know, for whatever reason didn't get it and have decided to, but it seems to have died down quite a bit, the talk about it. But I don't even like to talk about it. I don't really hang out with people who do this kind of, who would, you know, do that type of thing to themselves. So I can't really, I don't have like a real broad, sample size for you.
But in Arizona, can anybody get it? Because they're still doing it in waves here. They're still saying, okay, anyone 40 and over can get it. And maybe next month we're going to do the teenagers. So they're still making it seem like it's high demand and we have to really ration it out. And no one is going to get their second dose till the summer. Are they doing any of that, or is it just walk into your drugstore down there and go for it, whoever you are?
Yeah, as far as I can tell, I mean, I was at a coffee shop, and there's a couple of girls who probably weren't older than 21 or something, and they were talking about getting theirs. So I think it's probably any adult can get it around here pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have any sort of formal government rollout where the government is telling you where to go, what to do, how old you have to be, that kind of thing?
I try to just not ignore the government as much as possible. So I don't even know if they do. I wouldn't. I don't really care. They're a bunch of scumbags. So, but I'm not, as far as I know, there's not that, it's not going on, but.
Well, I wish I didn't know, but the radio, we have these super large electronic highway signs that are flashing messages. It's like those really bad movies where you, everywhere you turn, you get it. So I'm ignoring it too, but you know, as soon as you turn the radio on or anything, it's just everywhere. It's God, they're spending so much money advertising. It's just sick.
It's sick. It's on like every app you go on Google Maps. It's on there. We have those stupid freeway signs, and they had everyone all over the entire state. I mean, I drove all over the state last year, and these stupid signs everywhere you go, telling you to wear a mask and wash your hands. And those are gone primarily, but there are still a couple around the city where they're telling you, oh, you know, do your part and get your vaccine. So. But they're not every. It's not like every one of them. So, I don't know. The tide seems to be turning down here. That's my impressions.
Okay, not here, not here. I wish it was.
Those cops, man, arresting those pastors and stuff. I mean, what a bunch of scumbags! And with their stupid diapers on their faces and stuff, that's a really dystopian scene.
I should have said, because I was playing all these videos. All these videos are just pouring into my email box. And, of course, there's so many damn sites to keep up with. YouTube, BitChute. I can't keep up. So I just sort of look at the notifications and just click a few things here and there. But apparently the pastor, Artur Pawlowski, he has the worst name to pronounce, Pawlowski. Somebody set his garage on fire last night. So that's really disgusting. And then we have another pastor in Calgary. I think this is the third one. He's been arrested. So God, I don't even know how they arrest him. I guess they are doing lawfare on these guys where they're getting special warrants to arrest them because they're not. Oh, I see. It's for breaching a restraining order. Okay, so it's. Yeah, they passed this really outrageous, unconstitutional, general restraining order against Jane and John Doe, which means it applies to anyone, which is, that's got to be completely illegal. But they don't care. So that's their excuse. That's their way of arresting these guys now. It's just crazy.
It's crazy. Pretty sick up there.
It's sad, man.
I feel for all you. Yeah.
I'm not in Alberta, but I know the only guy with a bail condition on public speaking. Sorry, it's a bail condition that one of the conditions was that he can't, that he must obey the Ontario. I love the doublespeak. It's called the Reopening Ontario Act. So, of course, it's the opposite of what is going on. We're in the completely closed Ontario Act or Unterrible Act, but Chris Sky can't speak in Ontario because they made it a condition of his bail that he can't violate this unconstitutional act to reopen Ontario. So they've got it so twisted. I can't even follow it, and I don't think anyone else can either. It's just the way they've twisted the law, and you just have to know the net result, that if he speaks, he'll be arrested and go to jail. And then he has to get out of jail again. So, this is disgusting lawfare. They don't have the guts to just pass a law saying you can't do this, can't do that. This is what's crazy, because they know the law will be challenged. But if the courts are closed, how can you challenge the law? You can't.
Yeah, or if the judges actually believe in COVID.
Yeah,
you know, they actually think there's a pandemic going on. So even if they're not being bribed or they're not complicit in some way, they might just be total useful idiots. So,
and they know half the people they arrest can't get into the court because they won't wear a mask. See,
right.
So they'll be arrested at the doorstep of the court for not showing up. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I noticed that a lot this year, in the last year. Yeah, with the law, where there's never actually a law in the United States that anybody had to wear a mask. There's really no law.
No, it's an order, a mandate.
Ever got together. And they use the media to, you know, just basically psyop people into believing that it actually is a law, you know. And then so what's the difference? I mean, if people believe it's a law, whether it's a law or not, it's, you know, I mean, it's effectively a law.
And the cops believe it's a law. They don't even look into it. They just say, no, it's a law. So the cops, and they're the ones with the guns and the taser, so you can't argue with someone with a gun. That's the problem. You can argue with a security guard, but not someone with a gun that can kill you. So there's, you can be right or dead right. Especially when
I saw that video. I'm not sure. Did you post that video of the guy from Rebel News going to Thug Ford's sticker factory? I cannot believe that fucker owns a sticker factory. I mean, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, it's a label company. It's his daddy's company. His daddy actually almost became premier 40 years ago. So politics is a family business as well. Yeah, it's a label-making company. I think that's a little bit of misdirection. I'm sure he does make a few stickers. I don't think he's going to become a tens of millionaire for making stickers, because I'm sure China makes stickers too. But he does do that. He is open still. I think the real... the real fraud is I didn't see where the story came from. Somebody was saying he's now worth $50 million. And you don't get that from making stickers. I believe one of my callers last week, new caller from Ontario, Ontarible. I like that. Someone came up with Ontarible. What was his name? Sorry, I forget his name right this second because I've had a couple new callers. But anyway, he called from Ontarible, and he was saying that to me, I think he said on the air, that Ontarible is getting digital IDs of some description this fall. And that contract will be huge, where you have some kind of digital ID that I'm guessing is going to put your vaccination record, your driver's license. So you don't get vaccinated, you probably won't be able to drive, stuff like that. So that contract is probably worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and maybe that's got competitors, and maybe that's got some cashish on the side if you award the contract to them. Who knows if it's going to be a bid contract? Probably be a no-bid contract. Stuff like that. And I think most people understand that when you get into politics, you don't get into it to take the flack or get beat up. You're in it for the money. And if you don't get paid directly, you're going to get paid down the line when you leave office. And you're going to be on the board of all these companies that you helped out get government contracts. And it's not actually probably even illegal. You know, that's just like you make friends when you're in office because everyone's your friend. Because they know you... can influence government money. And now sort of Bill Gates took that to the extreme where he went and started up this foundation or philanthropic organization, NGO, that actually makes money by dodging taxes. They put the money in there, and 90% of the money he's busy investing in corporations that will benefit from the 10% of the money he uses to lobby these governments to buy from these corporations that his foundation mainly invests in. It's just disgusting. So that's, he doesn't have to buy politicians. He influences the entire population and the entire government. So he doesn't even have to make deals with the negotiators in government. So he's taken it to a new level of, payback, which is crazy. So, if anyone doesn't understand why this is working, they don't understand how trillions of dollars can make a difference. We've never talked like this before in the past. We've never talked about trillions. That's what's happening now. And who's going to get in the way of trillions of dollars?
Yeah, everybody can get a little piece of that, you know. Yeah, everyone can get a little piece of that when they make the numbers big enough, and until people realize that it's you know, if you can get to them before they realize the currency's been totally devalued, then they think they're getting themselves a good deal by, you know, latching themselves onto the government or these, you know, thugs, politicians and stuff.
Yeah, it's I don't think anyone has ever we don't know what will happen when you dump trillions of dollars into the economy. I don't think anyone really knows, because we've never been in this position where the reserve currency of the world is being super devalued. I don't think anyone really knows. I'm sure the rich people are hedging their bets all over the place. I don't think anyone knows exactly what will happen. I just don't think that's gonna. Everyone's sort of waiting to see, will it collapse the whole economy? It's an unknown, I think, because it's never happened before, at least in this version of the world. Maybe we're in Earth 3.0. Maybe this has already happened two or three times before it collapsed and we wiped out and started over again. Who knows? Can speculate forever. Okay, so
I know. Germany had a lot of people who I follow a lot of, like, investors and stuff like that, and
yeah.
They have been referencing the Germany, the I think it was called the Weimar inflation.
Yeah,
I don't remember, and that's what they've been referring to, and basically how it all went down and everything. And it's sort of somewhat like, it looks like things are going really good for a while, and then once people catch on to the fact that the money's no good anymore, then now it's all up for it'll just basically be a surprise. Who knows, you know?
You're totally right.
It's just part of the chaos, and they're going to try to usher this in, but this is where the cryptos come in, right? I mean, if they're trying to destroy the dollar. Did you know they mentioned Monero on CNBC News last week?
In what? In reference to what?
Because, do you know about that pipeline?
Oh, that's what I said was going to happen. Did they say they wanted to be paid in Monero?
Yeah, so if you're there's a clip, it's like on Reddit, R Monero, and the guy that she says, oh, did they want the, because they wanted ransom, and they said, do they want ransom in Bitcoin? And the guy said, oh, no, we don't know exactly, but it's probably a different type of more private coin, something like Monero.
I said that was going to happen. I mean,
it's
you don't have to be that smart to figure out that they were going to try and tie that in. But let's just see. Monero.
I'm looking, I think it's on the second page of the Reddit, R Monero.
Okay, hold on. Reddit.
CNBC says the word Monero.
Let me just go to reddit.com. R Monero. I don't usually navigate on this annoying software called Reddit. Actually kind of slow. Well, I'm not even joined to Monero. Come on. Okay, I'm in Monero. And let's see how you search it. Can you search just one particular Reddit? Let's see. Show results from Monero. Okay, come on. Don't be so slow. CNBC calling Dogecoin a national security risk. Is that it? No.
The exact title is CNBC says the word Monero.
Oh, dear. Do I see it? Because now it's all ranked. I have it ranked by upvotes. What a slow, sluggish site.
You don't like – so about Reddit, you know John LeBon, of course.
Yeah, I know he goes there.
He created the Reddit subreddit called Conspiracy No Poll.
Right.
Have you ever gone there before?
Not lately. And, I did once, yeah.
And it's pretty funny because it's like he's the moderator of it, and a lot of the posts on there are about fakery and stuff. And it's like if you go into the comments though – the people are like like really kind of normies, you know. They're like, it's like there'll be people will post like, you know, moon landing hoax stuff, and like you go in the comments and people are like just arguing that the moon landing did in fact happen, and you're like, why are you even here, you know? Why are you on a conspiracy website? And then he actually did a post about JonBenet Ramsey, you know, that that's, remember that story about the girl who got killed? So he, and I thought this was brilliant. So he did a post about it, and he's claiming that, like, either, you know, it was basically just a total psyop, and there really is nobody named JonBenet Ramsey who really existed, that it's all just on the world stage.
Yep.
And so he posted that, and then to get see the response, and all the responses were like just this total, like, mainstream kind of response, like, oh, it was the brother, oh, it was, they were covering this up, oh, it was pedophilia.
Yeah.
It was like all the, like, assuming it was real. And so then he did like a podcast on it, or like a video on it, about talking about how these people are, who come to that subreddit, are like basically fan fiction. So they're kind of, they don't, they're not into media fakery. They're into like kind of a kind of a fan fiction reality. You know, and like the example that he was using is like the whole pedophilia thing. And I think that relates to the Jeffrey Epstein thing, where they basically have infected the whole kind of conspiracy subculture with Jeffrey Epstein, with child trafficking and pedophilia and stuff. Mm. And it's kind of, it's like kind of their method for getting into this kind of subculture is to infect it with these kind of, which I think Epstein's like basically fake.
Yeah, I think he is. I agree.
And it's like, because if you go on like the Reddit r conspiracy, which is a pretty huge subreddit, and they have a lot of posts about, oh, Jeffrey Epstein was with Bill Gates, Jeffrey Epstein was with Alan Dershowitz, Jeffrey Epstein was with Bill Clinton. And if you look at these pictures that they're posting, they're totally obviously photoshopped.
Yeah.
And so it's like kind of a diabolical way to infect, you know, people who are looking for the truth, is to kind of, and I think it's just like you use sex and, you know, pedophilia to kind of like draw these people in, because it's so, you know, kind of, you know, just like what the news, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, you know, people are drawn to that sort of thing and they think it's real. And the next thing you know, it's like everything that they start to believe is tainted with this kind of mentality. Anyway, so John LeBon had kind of, I thought he did a great job summing that up. I don't know. I think it's a free, it must have been a free video he did. So it's worth taking a look at.
One of the freebies, John LeBon. Always, yeah, that was a great movie made to create this subreddit, 45,000 members. That's really great. Even though he doesn't own Reddit and doesn't own the forum, that is amazing that it's got such traction. Yeah, I guess I should be looking at it a little more carefully. Interesting. Really interesting. Yeah, I don't know if I watched that. I guess I can go look for it now. JonBenet and John LeBon. Of course, I always spelled John LeBon wrong. I don't know.
I mean, how long have you known John LeBon? I mean, he's a pretty interesting character, and he's pretty young for this kind of stuff.
Apparently, he's 33 this year, and I have followed him since I think he popped on the scene with the Bald Earth Skeptic show, and maybe an Aussie news show. And I think he has been around fakeologists for just about the same amount of time. He's definitely a booster of fakeologists. I have a lot of respect for John. Fan fiction, here it is.
In this presentation, we're going to take a look at the JonBenet Ramsey story and the many different conspiracy theories that are still believed and propagated about this story to this day. And the reason why we're going to take a look at this is because I think this particular news story, regardless of what any of us think about it, can be rather revelatory to give us an idea of who and what we're dealing with in the conspiracy subculture. Because I think there's a lot of people out there who don't quite understand what this place is. They seem misguided about what this place is and who's here. And I think that by the end of this presentation, it will be more clear to all of us, myself included, who it is that we're dealing with and what some of these people might be trying to achieve by being here. And what are we going to use as a source material for this exploration? We're going to be taking a look at this thread on a conspiracy subreddit where they're talking about the JonBenet Ramsey case. Now, for a lot of you, you might be thinking, well, I already know what happened with the JonBenet Ramsey case. It was this, or it was this, or it was that. That's fine. We're going to discuss all of these theories and so much more. The issue here is more of a meta issue or a meta exploration. What is it that people believe? Why do they believe it? Why are they here? Who are we surrounded by? I think a lot of us, and this includes me early on, get wrapped up in thinking that the people around us, we project onto them. We project onto them what's going on in our mind. And so what can happen is we think that there's all these people out there who are thinking for themselves or they can see things the way that we do or what have you. When in reality, it's a very, very small number of people who truly are thinking through what they're writing, what they're saying, what they're doing. And that may be because there aren't as many player characters here as we've been led to believe. So these are the kinds of things we're going to be discussing in the presentation. You can see the full presentation for free at johnlebon.com, available in both video and audio format, just like I've been doing all of my longer form material lately. Put the first couple minutes on YouTube to give you an idea of what it is you can find at the website. Then if you follow the link to the website, you can either get the video or the MP3 to download or to stream at your leisure. And of course, by doing this, I can cover topics and include material that might otherwise be censored. So go and check that link in the info box below and find the full presentation.
Yeah, I actually, that popped on my screen and probably just got buried in all the other stuff. But yeah, John is very good at marketing, no doubt. He's making a living off doing this, and that's because, you know, he's just very good at figuring out how to work the different platforms. YouTube, he's got Reddit going. That's an amazing, I didn't realize it's up to 45,000, so I'll give him a lot of credit. And he gives Fakeologist a lot of credit, too. And I appreciate that as well. He's done a lot of good for Fakeologist, for sure. And I know he quit the Fakeologist Discord server for the simple reason that it's so distracting and that he probably couldn't get his business done in a timely fashion when he's so distracted with all the drama on Fakeologist. Which is why, you know, I had a chat on the Fakeologist main page years ago. It was just a script that was really killing my website, though. Just the hardware demands were taking the website down because it was such a buggy script. So that's why I had to find something that wasn't part of the website, because otherwise the website would go down just because of the way websites work. And that's why I started TeamSpeak, and then I created the Discord. And the problem is they take on a life of their own and they go their own direction unless you're there moderating them like crazy. So I couldn't really do that, and it sort of gets away from you. And what is my point? I can't even remember what the point of that was. Isn't that crazy? But I guess it's just a lot to manage, let's put it that way. So when you spread yourself too thin over so many different platforms that you can have on the internet, you just can't really focus. So if you hang out on Discord, then you're probably neglecting the website. If you hang out on the website, then you're not really watching the Discord or your forum. So it's a real problem for me, and maybe John is just trying to tie them all together. Because if John spends all his time on the Reddit, if he has that many people on Reddit, then it's going to take a ton of time to manage it, is what I'm saying. Then his website will, if you're one-man crew, then your website will suffer. I think that's a long way of saying that you have to really concentrate on what you're doing, especially if you're trying to make money at it. But I appreciate John LeBon.
I mean, I honestly think you, John LeBon, IPS, or I mean, I'm not saying this to be hyperbolic. You're on the cutting edge of the critique of like human of reality, because it's like if you don't understand the fakery that's going on, you're not going to be able to get to the next step, whatever that is, you know. Because if you think that the things that are, the culture, the media, everything that's being presented to you, if you think that it's authentic, you're stuck in that box, you know. It's like the cutting edge of analyzing reality is the profound fakery.
Yeah, and I like to focus on that more than anything, and that's what I do. And I agree. If someone I know is purposely misleading, I try not to waste my time with them, because I know that they're going to be talking about a lot of stuff I disagree with, and I just don't like the foundation. That's why I could listen to fakeologists talk about non-fakeologist stuff, because I know they have at least the foundational part of reality is fake in their minds at all time. So I can listen to them talk about other things, because I know their mindset if they take fakeologists seriously. So yeah, the only reason I like to listen to other non-fakeologists is just to get new ideas. And sometimes they have ideas that I never thought about, and then try and incorporate them into fakeology if there's something they said that can be useful. But yeah, going back to CNBC, it looks like as early this year, April 6th, they were already talking about, they were already laying the foundation of the future fake colonial pipeline story. So here we go, we're talking about ransomware. And if you search down, they start talking about Monero. So when they do PSYOPs, they always seed the ideas, the main ideas, beforehand. And Monero is definitely mentioned here. Dark Web, Monero. Yeah. And Jeff Berwick of Dollar Vigilante. And we don't know his exact angle. To me, he has the best truth talks ever. So I don't think he's controlled opposition. He seems like the real deal. And he's already telling people to bail out of Bitcoin because it's completely surveillance coin at the moment and in the future. And he says the future is the privacy coins. But then the privacy I just don't see the government ever. If they want to control the money, and if the money is the control of the whole system, I just don't ever see them allowing any crypto, private or otherwise, to get away from them. They're just going to keep chasing them. That's how can they not? Even if it's super private, they're going to just keep attacking, because they just don't want any of these to get going and cause any kind of damage to their business, which is controlling the world. Can you see any differently on that?
Hey, I mean, here's the fact is, man, we're at war. Like, mm-hmm. They're at war. These bankers and whoever these bankers are aligned with, they've declared war on us. You know, they've declared war on the 99.9%. And that means they want to destroy us. You know, they want to destroy us, destroy our families, destroy our communities. So they're at war with us. So, you know, we have to understand that. And, you know, crypto is a way to fight back. And yeah, it's a war. So we'll see what happens. But it's a way to fight back. You know, it's a way to take this, take this centralized currency away from them, because that would be a huge step forward if that can happen. And I totally agree with Jeff. And he opened my eyes to this, because I'd been into crypto for quite some time. This notion of the privacy coin. And it's no joke. I mean, I've looked into the technology. Monero specifically has incredible technology, and a lot of developers working on the program who are well known, who do really high level software development, and they've devoted their time to Monero. And you know, that's why I'm behind it. You know, I own Monero. I support the project, and you know, I think it's a great. It's it's one way we can fight it back against these scumbags. But yeah, they're at war with us. So yeah, they're going to use every tactic they got to. They're not going to let this. They're not. I mean, they control all the money. They're not going to let it go easily. But maybe maybe they just can't overcome the technology. You know, maybe they can't overcome the decentralization. But we'll see.
Yeah, and the way we get people to join the army is instead of handing them guns and rifles and weapons, we hand them a Monero wallet and say, go use it. Just say, here's the wallet. Yeah. Go fill it up yourself. We're not giving you the money. And go use it. And if I have to buy something off you, then accept it. And then you go use it and spend it yourself. And good luck for... I think that's really possibly what most of the network's efforts are going to be against. They're going to fight anyone or everyone that's really promoting it, and they just don't want this genie to get out of the bottle. And the beautiful thing about crypto is, okay, if they go up to Monero and find or exploit some problem with it, then someone's going to fix it and make Monero or WowNero or whatever else. So they're just going to fix it, and then they're going to be playing whack-a-mole all day long, I think. So it's going to be, it's really, the genie is out of the bottle, and I think it's impossible to put it back in.
I agree. So I agree with Jeff on a lot. I think Jeff's like a legend. Oh, I think the guy's totally legit.
I think so.
You know, yeah, we're lucky to have the guy. But I agree with him on the cryptos. I mean, he's have you seen the clip of him on, like, it was like CNBC or MSNBC back in the day talking about the Federal Reserve?
Yeah, he showed it on his shows. I put almost every one of his shows on FACO too. So I watch every one of them for the most part. And I saw him put that on. That was good. Yeah, he was predicting, and he said, well, you know, I've said a lot of things right over the last 10 years. You'd think I'd be famous.
Yeah.
So
what do you think about his hockey prediction?
I actually was trying to get one of my junior fakeologists to clip that. Because I'm not really good at clipping videos, and I was going to publish that video. But actually, I have three or so videos that I don't even have in production yet. But I thought it was just as good as any prediction. I couldn't, you know, I want hockey to go away. I really want certain things to be completely destroyed. And it's mainly because I can't wake people up, but maybe some of this will. If they can shut hockey down for a year, I'd be really happy. And maybe that'll wake up the sheep that are in this country a little bit. Similarly, golf is canceled in Ontario for another 2 weeks. And we have a really, let me rephrase where I live, Ontario. I really hope golf stays closed in Ontario for the entire season. Because there are a lot of people that golf here, and our golf season's very short because of the weather. I'm really hoping it's closed all year long. Because there are people with money that golf as well. That's where they make their deals. I used to, before I was married, golf. So I didn't really make any money doing it. But I know there's a lot of socializing, which I was starting to get going with. But if they could close golf for the year, that would... I think that would really piss a lot of people off and make them sort of wake up. Hockey the same way, although I think hockey's been losing badly like all sports over the last year. I think the viewership is just tanking, even in hardcore places like Toronto.
You think so?
I think so. I think so. Because
supposedly that's what's going on in the States here too. Yeah, all the sports, especially like basketball and, you know, but they've really politicized it and stuff. But
yeah,
you're one of the only few Canadians I know of who doesn't. I never hear you talk about hockey.
No, when I got into Truth, and when I heard Brian Toohey talk to Marcus, and he wrote a book called The Fix Is In, and then I started watching sports with that viewpoint, And then right after Boston, no bombing. I think 2013, the year was the year after, somewhere around there. I don't know exactly the date. Toronto's playing Boston, and we are winning 5-1. And I remember my daughter was into hockey, and I used to watch hockey. I said to her, just wait. It's not over yet. There's 11 minutes left, 11. And I said, just wait. It's not over. And sure enough, it went 5-2, 5-3, 5-4, 5-5, 6-5. We lost in 11 minutes. And I said, these guys are, they're literally getting out of the way of the puck. Like, they couldn't, that's how it looked to me. Now, other people said they just collapsed. But to me, they were just getting out of the way of the other team scoring. And it was so obvious. I just said, I can't watch anymore. It's over. It's done. I'm done. Can't do this anymore. And ever since.
It's a totally meaningless distraction. Anyone know a funny thing? Is like I've been reading this book about some like old where this guy went around to these kind of isolated civilizations.
Yeah.
To study them. And one thing he mentioned recently is I think it was somewhere like in the Polynesian Islands where, you know, basically it was the same story with all these communities where like the government would somehow get to them and just fucking and ruin them. And what they did there was like two tribes, supposedly like Polynesian tribes that were at war with each other.
Yeah.
And so the government got in, and what did the government do? The government, in order to get them to stop fighting with each other, they got them to start playing sports against each other.
Mm.
And so that was basically, you know, sports is a kind of, you know, a method of government control for a long time. It's like an essential element to it, to kind of take away the alpha males, you know, channel all the aggressive energy into these meaningless sports, pay all the athletes a bunch of money so you can control them. And it's just it's a critical aspect of the control system.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for a lot of other reasons, hockey was definitely on decline anyway before this whole COVIDian cult took over. It was definitely on the decline for quite a few reasons, and not the least of which is that white people don't reproduce anymore, and it definitely was a European sort of white person sport for sure. So if your base population is just imploding, then your numbers are just going to go down anyhow. And it became very expensive to put your child through it. So if you didn't have money, you were probably not likely to go through unless you got a sponsor, which doesn't really happen. So the sport is, like many other things, on a biological reproduction collapse anyhow. So COVID just probably knocked it, accelerated the whole thing by 10 times into the ground. So I just don't know what the future is. It doesn't look good to me based on everything. And Jeff's prediction about what's going to happen this year, I only paid minimal attention to it because I really don't care. I just don't care. I couldn't care less. I don't even care. I can't remember what he said. He said something like we wouldn't be able to go to the U.S. and or we'd go to the U.S. and therefore our fans wouldn't be there. We couldn't participate as a country because it's not in our country anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous. The idea that there's a hockey team in Arizona is just insane anyway. That's when we jump the shark to me. Putting a hockey team in the desert.
It's a big sport down here.
It's big?
A big sport down here. Even a bunch of kids, they have hockey rinks like all over this area.
Where?
You know why? Because there's so many people.
Indoors?
Yeah. They're all indoors, of course. Yeah.
Well, no, because don't you have mountains so there? People, you have mountains in your area where you could go up. It's cold. Can't you drive an hour outside of Phoenix and it's cold going up into the mountains? No?
I mean, it's colder. It's not like Canada cold.
Yeah. But don't you have snow all year round if you go into the mountains? Is that possible? No.
Nah, not all year round, but I mean, there's some pretty cold winters and stuff and milder summers up in the mountains, and there's a lot of mountains around here.
Okay.
But it's still not, it's like 90 degrees in the summer up there.
Oh, okay. Well, it is here too in our cold areas, but I just thought there was some, okay, so in the winter it's sort of cold, but okay, well.
Man, you gotta get down here, man.
I know.
When are you gonna come to the States?
I know.
Mean, you're
well,
an American, right? You gotta get down here, man.
I know. Well, that was sort of my next, because I've done Canada, but the last couple of years we haven't gone anywhere. But I was planning on driving around for sure. That was my plan. But it's all.
I'll hang out with you, man. If you get down to Arizona, we'll definitely hang out, man. I'll show you around.
No, I appreciate that. But right
no
now,
masks.
No, I know. I watch Ethan Schmidt. He's down in Phoenix. He's the anti-mask club. Have you seen him on Instagram? That guy's great.
He is in Arizona. You mentioned him.
Yeah, he's in Arizona. He's in Phoenix, I think, and he hunts mask Nazis. That's his thing. He's funny.
Good.
He's really Ethan.
I don't use the FBI book.
No, it's on. Let me just get on the right page before I close the show because it's been about an hour. Let me go on to Instagram and look up, what's it called? Anti-Mask Club. Anti-Mask Club Canada. Okay, here he is here. He's funny. He's really in your face.
Smiling in the morning when you walk in to teach your class. That's the most messed up thing in the world.
Calm down.
Squatters rock!
There he is right there.
Let's go!
This is what
America looks like, folks. I want to see those smiles, folks. What? They're making kindergartners wear masks. That's the most messed up thing I ever heard of.
That wasn't him, but that was his friend, I guess. Here he is here. I don't condone this necessarily, but I find it really funny. where else? He got into trouble going to a Palestinian march, too. I didn't know you had them down there. But, yeah, he's really interesting. Let me see. The Anti-Masker Club. Let's click on this. This one here. Okay. Yeah, I guess they went to Costco today.
Real men don't wear masks. Real men stand up for freedom.
I love it.
Looks like he bought a team this time. I think you better meet up with this guy.
I've never heard of this guy except for you.
Oh.
I'll try to find him.
Yeah, okay. Well, he is, go to the Anti-Masker Club on Instagram or look him up, Ethan Schmidt. Yeah, take a look. He's pretty cool. He was actually on the Kevin J. Johnson show. Kevin J. Johnson, even though he probably is going to be prevented from winning the mayor of Calgary, he does a talk show Monday to Friday for 2 hours, and he has good guests. He considers himself a journalist first anyway. And I'm pretty much in sync with what he has to say. He's a little too much, like anyone else, he has a couple things I don't really agree with, but I don't think that are wasting your time with. But overall, he's worth a listen. He has good guests. And he had this guy on his show, and that's how I found out about him. Because Kevin J. Johnson doesn't bullhorn his way into stores, but he won't wear a mask, but he'll film himself. And he got arrested. At least once for doing it, which is crazy. Went into a small town and mixed it up with some cops who didn't know what they were doing, and they have guns, and he went to jail, which is, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It is. There's no other way to describe it. It's just nuts. Like, I'm not going to do that. I don't have the time to go to jail. He does. He's more of a hero, but I just... I don't know how he does it. I guess he doesn't deal with his children anymore because they're young. And I guess he's not with his wife, so I guess he lets her take care of everything. But he's out in the world fighting the good fight. So more power to him. All right, well, we've learned a ton tonight. And I do about an hour, Sunday to Thursday, for everyone who wants to know. And I just bring to you what's on my blog and try and give you in a audiovisual form what I'm looking at on a nightly basis. I'm way behind going through my blog because I usually post 5 to 10 posts a day, 5 to 10 videos on FakeTube. That takes up a ton of time. I don't have time to always review everything, so you're going to have to go to the blog or FakeTube yourself and watch all this stuff. Amazing Polly. I don't watch her all the time, but this last one she did, this isn't about a virus. Fantastic. It's what I've been saying the whole time. And we got Hannah Maria, who made the mistake, or she intentionally wanted to do a story with the mainstream media, and they did their best to trick her. And then they caught her a couple times and tricked her by taking deceptive photos and not telling her how they were going to use them. But she knew she was going to potentially have a problem, and she tried her best to be properly portrayed. So she's a real freedom fighter. We've had her on the show. And another video I'll quickly point out, this is from YouTube. I can't remember who put it up right this second. It's about the Stasi in East Germany. And it's very instructional for anyone to watch this video because that's what they're going to build here, whether you like it or not. They're going to have a secret police force. And more importantly, they're going to have people snitching if you guys don't stop what's happening. So why don't you go look at some history? Because most people don't even know about East Germany. They don't know about the Stasi, the secret police. They don't know about all the collaborators that fed the secret police. And they don't know what a dictatorship East Germany was. And they're still recovering 30 years later. They're still not fully recovered from that absolute disgusting communist dictatorship that they had after World War II. So learn your history, people. And we had a little bit of Greta. I pulled this from a Jeff show. This was fantastic. An Idiot's Guide to the Germ Theory. You got to watch these two videos, 38 minutes and 40 minutes. Well worth your time. Definitely watch that. That was the best summary. I didn't even watch the video. I just listened to it, but it looks like they have tons of visual aids with the audios. Definitely watch that. I actually promoted that to youcan'tcatchavirus.com and on one of my entry pages when you come into the Fakeologist site, because I really think if you don't watch anything else and do watch this, it will really set you straight. And if you understand just all the 100 years of trying to promote this virus myth, they've been very successful. They did the Spanish flu hoax. They did polio hoax. They did swine flu. They did AIDS. This COVID thing, it didn't just come out of anywhere. It is a culmination of all these lies. So they've been building towards this. This is just sort of using the technology we have to really push it over the top. But they've been doing this a long time. A long time. Smallpox. It's really crazy. So definitely watch that.
An essential part of their scam is poisoning people and then telling them it's a contagious disease. That's another critical component of their control system.
There is no virus.
There are no viruses floating around in the air. There are none. No one's ever seen one. You can't even see one. There's no technology to even see a little virus floating in the air. There is no viruses. They don't exist.
Yeah, they don't exist as described for sure. I don't want to be an absolutist, but the guy that invented the the live microscope where he says he could see microzyma that were present in the living body. That's the only, and he was basically shut down. Now, I don't know if there's any equivalent of that today. There's nobody talking about the living microscope and what you actually see moving around in a real environment. Everything else is dead. The electron microscope is a very heavily treated, dead representation of what once was alive. And it's very far from what it originally was. So it's not really evidence, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's...
I totally agree.
We
don't know what's going on at a microscopic level. We can't know because you can't ever shrink yourself down and go look at it. You always have to have some technology, some intermediary to look at it. So you don't know. You just don't know.
Well,
that's okay.
This living microscope, I think, was the closest they got. I don't know the details on it right off the top of my head, but... I don't know if anyone's using it now, or maybe they are. They're starting to use it, but suffice it to say that what they're talking about, what they can see in a living body at a super microscopic level, isn't what we are told is happening. It's not what the CDC and the Big Pharma say it is. Let's put it that way. So it's very interesting, but. Those two videos will help you try and figure out what the heck is going on. And my mouth is drying out because I had something salty for dinner. So I think I'm going to have to say goodnight to everybody. So, Walker, thank you for calling in. It was good talking to you. You helped me move the show along, which I appreciate.
Thanks for your time always, man. You do awesome work, so... Yeah, have a good week, man. And
oh, yeah, thank you.
Get down here sometime.
Well, there's no travel plans yet. Don't forget our borders are still closed officially. Canada, U.S., they've been closed, what year is this? Last March, maybe? So, yeah, they're officially closed. And I don't even know if the flights to Florida came back in April, at the end of April. I'm going to say no. And I work around the airport. There's almost no planes coming in and out. I know that because I can see planes. So we're shut down still, big time. Big time. So it would be very difficult to get out in and out quickly without any slowdowns. And I don't have time for slowdowns. So it's not good. But we have to escape. It's either... Arizona, Texas, or Florida.
Yeah.
So, one of them. We're not going to Michigan. Let's put it that way. We're not stopping in Michigan because they're destroying that state like crazy as well. I don't even know what's happening there, but it's not good, I don't think. And that's kind of my home state, so. Even though I could buy a house there on my credit card, I don't think we're going there. So, yeah, it's cheap.
Right,
all right.
Yeah, all right, man. Well, I'll let you get going. Yeah, great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you, Walker, and have a great night. And we're going to thank everybody here at fakeologist.com. If you want to donate, fakeologist.com/donate. Thank you to the most recent donor. Go find theothers.com. Zyleflex made a great donation. Thank you all. We're here Sunday to Thursday, 8:30 to about 9:30. We went late tonight because we had a caller in her. And we'll see if there's anything to talk about tomorrow. So join in, fakeologist.com and fakotube.com. Good night.